I want to take a moment here to thank a friend of mine, Elaine Tarr from Shepherd Hills and Fountain Hills, who made these banners and allowed me to bring them down here. And Janet and Terry, thank you so much for hanging them. That was no easy task. That's 15 feet long and 9 feet up and down. So a lot of banner there. And then another one over here. Well, let's begin by reading together the fruit of the Spirit, because we're in a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. So together, let's read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, this morning we are going to talk about peace, and once again, what a timely word it is for what we are experiencing. We are praying for God to bring peace, and we can be sure that God wants His church to be an agent of peace in this troubled time. This fruit of the Spirit, alive in God's people, can be a witness to the goodness and power of God and draw others and draw, hopefully, our nation back to God. If you've ever wondered why there's so much conflict and distress in the world, Genesis is a good place to look. Genesis chapter 3. One of the things I appreciate about our Christian faith is it gives us a worldview that gives us understanding of why things happen in this world. In Genesis chapter 3, we read about Adam and Eve, who had a perfect, peaceful existence in the Garden of Eden until they disobeyed God's one command. And the result was fear of God. Remember how they hid themselves to try to see if they could hide from God. And also, guilt and shame were introduced into the world, and we've all experienced that. This disobedience produced a fourfold disharmony, which we all live in today. Fourfold disharmony is this, with God, with others, with nature, with self. And that first one, with God, is the reason for the other three disharmonies. If you want to read a story about, or a speech about disharmony or God with God, I recommend Alexander Solzhenitsyn Templeton Address. You can look up online. He talks about the change that took place in Russia when the communists came. And he says the very root of communism, the very center, is hatred towards God. So I commend that. It's a very thought-provoking piece that he spoke years ago. But without God's help, without God's grace, without God's mercy, peace would be impossible. With God's help, there is a peace that surpasses understanding, which has comforted countless people. I'm looking at people who've been comforted by God's peace. I am one who's been comforted by God's peace. And when we lean on God, there is His peace. Now, His peace is more than an absence of turmoil. Sometimes that is what it is. But God's peace can be present even in turmoil, because God's peace comes from the presence of Jesus Christ, who watches out for our well-being. The blessing we use every Sunday as we end our service, the benediction, reveals that God's peace comes from God's blessing. Let me repeat those words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look with favor upon you and give you peace. All these blessings and give you peace. God's blessings lead to a fullness of peace. Last week, we learned that we can have joy even in difficult situations, because joy is the assurance that God is with us. But that's also true about peace. And I'd like to tell you a story of a man who experienced God's peace in the most horrible situation. The year was 1873. The man's name was Horatio Spafford. 2 years earlier, he had suffered financial ruin in the Great Chicago Fire. That was 1871. 2 years later, he experienced something far worse. Horatio Spafford was a loyal friend of the great evangelist Dwight L. Moody. Moody was over in England having an evangelistic campaign, and so Spafford and his wife decided to travel to England so they might lend support to Moody. At the last minute, Horatio was delayed by some business concern, and so he sent his wife Anna and their four daughters on ahead, on a ship ahead of him, and said he would join them shortly. The ship that they were sailing on never reached England. Off the coast of Newfoundland, the ship collided with an English sailing ship, and it sunk in 20 minutes. 226 people perished, only 40 survived. All four of Horatio Spafford's daughters died that day. Only his wife survived. She sent a heartbreaking telegram to her husband. It just had two words, saved alone. She and the other survivors were taken to England. So Spafford immediately set sail for England so he could join his wife. And he told the captain when he boarded the ship, he said, when we get to the spot where the other ship went down, would you please notify me? I want to be there at that time. And so when they reached that spot, the captain notified him, and he went, and he stood and looked at the waters where his daughters had drowned. And there he had a collision of his own, internally, of grief and faith. He went to his room, and he sat down, and he wrote a famous hymn. We just sang it. It is well with my soul. Just think about it. He wrote that hymn in that difficult situation with that phrase, when peace like a river attendeth my way. So how do you get to a point in your life where you can discover and live in that kind of peace that Spafford had and wrote about? He suffered incredible grief, and still he said he had peace. I sympathize with those who have little peace because they are haunted by anxiety or depression. I learned something about that anxiety and depression 7 years ago when I received a diagnosis that I had cancer. I'd never experienced anything like that before in my life. I was shocked by that experience and the dark cloud that just descended. And what it made it even more troubling for me is I said to myself, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't feel this way. I'm a pastor. I've comforted other people who've been through this. I should not feel this way. But that darkness was there, that sense of hopelessness was there, and that anxiety flooded my soul. Jesus said this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling us that we are Christians, and still we live in a world of trouble. We're not exempt from trouble. I was not exempt from trouble. And we're not exempt from emotional turmoil. Well, it took some time. Didn't happen immediately. It took some time. But finally, that dark cloud did lift, and hope returned. And I learned, and I still then to lean on Jesus, and I continued to lean on him and hear his promises so that peace like a river attendeth my way. Martin Luther said this, peace is a quiet conscience and a trust in God. The peace of God brings us power to endure. The peace of God surpasses knowledge. It calms troubling situations that we simply can't explain. Further, this peace does guard our hearts and minds from anxiety, from worry, from that despair. When seeking peace in your life, there are a few things that's helpful to remember. Here's the first one. God cares for you. Very simple. God cares for you. Very easy to forget, however, when trouble comes. God cares for you. God's not ambivalent about you. God's not disengaged from you. God has not lost track of you. You may have lost track of God. He's not lost track of you. So how can you be close to God? Or how close is God to you? Well, listen to these words from Psalm 121. Very familiar. The Lord watches over you. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in the hospital to visit somebody right before surgery, and they're experiencing anxiety, very normal. And then I've read this psalm or another word from Scripture, and that anxious look in their face turns to peace because it's a word that says God cares for you. Jesus said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Just think about that. God is intimately aware of what is going on in your life. He pays very close attention to what is happening in your life. And why does God do that? Because he cares for you and because he loves you. When the world comes unhinged, and it does that frequently, when it comes unhinged, when anxiety stalks you, remember, God does love you and God cares for you. Knowing that God cares for you is the first step towards having peace in the midst of troubling times. Listen to what Peter wrote. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. 1 year ago this past Thursday, my dad died. And my dad was a wonderful man. It was fortunate, it was pre-COVID, so my brothers and I were able to be with him when he died. But my dad had suffered the last 3 years of his life from a pulmonary disease and would cause a shortness of breath. And because of that, he would get anxious occasionally, as you would expect. Excuse me. And my dad was a believer. He knew God cared for him. And so he had a very simple prayer that he would pray. He'd say, God, help me. I need your help today. Every day, God, I need your help today. And when he felt anxious, God, I need your help today. And that simple prayer, because he knew God cared for him, gave him peace. Many people in the world are looking for peace in their life. Many people you know are looking for peace in their life. And there might be somebody in this room this morning or online that is looking for peace in his or her life. Well, I will have failed you this morning if I don't point you to Jesus, because he's the source of everlasting peace. 700 years before his birth, the prophet Isaiah announced who he would be. In the passage from Isaiah that Terry read and we read every Christmas, we hear these words, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. It is Jesus who gives us peace through his atoning sacrifice on the cross. It is Jesus who gives us peace with others by the forgiveness of sin that he has given to us, so that we have the power and the authority to forgive the sins of others and have reconciliation. It is Jesus who gives us peace in nature because he's the creator. And it's Jesus who can give us peace within ourselves by his transforming grace. The Apostle Paul was transformed by that grace, and he knew peace. From his experience, Paul knew that peace came from a right relationship with God. And when you have faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, you can have peace. Here's what Paul said. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was visiting with a World War II veteran a number of years ago, who had served in the Marines, and he had fought in the South Pacific. And so if you know any of the stories of the South Pacific, you know there was horrific battles that took place. He'd asked me to come see him. He was nearing the end of his life, and he wanted to talk. And so I went to see him, and he shared with me some of the things he had done in those battles. And he said it in kind of a matter-of-fact way, but I think that matter-of-fact way was his protection from those memories as he talked about them. And it became obvious as he talked that he was experiencing anxiety and fear of death. This man was a Christian. He'd been a Christian since he was a child. He had heard the gospel from childhood. But here he was nearing the end of his life, and his past was haunting him. And so I got out my Bible, and I began to read some of the great promises of God, like this one from Romans 5 and others. And like I've seen happen so many times, as people heard the Word of God, as it was planted in their heart and in their soul, that anxiety, that fear left, and he had peace. This brave and honorable man, months later, died in peace. You have seen the bumper sticker, no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace. Well, it's more than a cute play on words. It's a biblically accurate description of what the Bible teaches. And this is what Paul said. when you know Jesus, when you have faith in him, you are made righteous. And having been made righteous, you have peace because Jesus Christ is the source of peace. And look what Jesus said in John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That is a promise you can count on. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can have peace no matter what's going on in your life. From the world's point of view, it does not seem logical. It does not make sense. Nevertheless, you can have peace in all situations through Jesus Christ, your Lord. One of my favorite Bible verses, I know it's many of yours, we've already read it today, is this: the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? God's peace surpasses our limited understanding. When others are angry, when others are anxious, when others are distressed, a person who has a relationship with Jesus Christ can experience peace. I have two dear friends, Bob and Arlene Allison, who have suffered more tragedy and loss than anybody I know. And most people look at it and say, how could you ever recover from that? And Bob and Arlene have every reason to be spiteful and vengeful and want revenge. But they don't. And when you ask them why, they will tell you this: we are Christians. Jesus Christ has forgiven us. We will forgive. And we don't want to live with bitterness. And so Christ has given us his peace. And it is a peace from above. You are probably familiar with the Serenity Prayer. You may know part of the prayer. Many people don't know there's an additional part to it. Also, you might know that it was written by a Lutheran pastor by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr. And here is the whole prayer. First part you'll recognize: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You've heard that. Now here's a part you may not know. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, look at this next verse, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world, as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. Well, let me do a quick review. The first 2 points. Number one, God cares about you. Number two, God is the source of your peace. And now here's the third point. Peace is a decision to respond to God's activity. Peace is a decision to respond to what God is doing in your life. Now, I say this very carefully because I know that some troubles are so overwhelming, it seems impossible you could ever have peace. But let me remind you what the Bible says: with God, nothing is impossible. It's possible. And from one himself who felt that darkness and wondered if it could ever be lifted, I know all things are possible in Christ Jesus. And when you ask God for help, he will bring help. But you must recognize God can bring it, but maybe he'll bring it through somebody else, through a friend, through the friend's words, or maybe through professional help to help you get through that darkness or anxiety. But if you decide you want peace, peace is available. Colossians 3:15 said this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Notice the first word, let. If you don't want to have peace, don't let it happen. If you do want peace, then let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And how do you let this happen? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Prayers. God, I need your help today. Petitions. God, this is exactly where I need your help today. And thanksgiving. God, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm thankful that through this experience, you're going to teach me something. And we all know thankful people are the most joyful people and the most peace-filled people. When trouble comes, don't complain. Thank God He can use it for a good purpose in your life. Thank God, he's going to get you through that trouble. It may seem counterintuitive, yet the way to experience God's peace, pray about it, ask for God's help, and thank him. Lord, I know you're going to get me through this. You're going to teach me something. Whatever it is, I'm praying for your help and peace. Jesus said, we're not to be anxious, but he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The fruit of peace is available to you, and it's dependent upon an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the vine, and we are the branches, and that peace flows to the vine into the branches. We can't produce it ourselves, just like we can't produce love or joy, but Jesus Christ can produce that in us. Horatio Spafford titled his hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And so I have a question for you this morning. Is it well with your soul? Just think about that for a moment. Is it well for your soul? Is your soul at peace, or is anxiety flooding your soul? Well, I want to share with you, it can be at peace. When Christ lives in your heart, peace is one of the many wonderful blessings that God will give you. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, today would be a wonderful day to say, Lord, I need you. I want you in my life. I need you in my heart. I want to end this morning by having us read together the prayer of St. Francis. You probably all know this one. You maybe have sung it. It's been put to music. But let's read it together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.